Spirit of the law, muksa.
Okay, so the last sif of muksa in the Ben Ish Chai. If there was a box, and in this box you have some permitted things and some prohibited things, which are muksa on Shabbos. Even though the prohibited things are on top of the permitted, it doesn't make the permitted things a base for the prohibited. If you need the permitted stuff on Shabbos, you can take them out, sort of like shake off the prohibited. Because whatever's in this box, it's not in order to put it on top of it. You just need to throw whatever you can in the drawer. So, it doesn't become a base. If you wanted to put the prohibited stuff on top of the permitted, then it's a problem.
Can you put it underneath?
Yeah, underneath you can. If it becomes a basis, then you're in trouble. Author of Nevaduk said that the Alter Sabota had the power to draw people close to Torah, even from a very young age. But I was afraid. He was afraid he would be drawn after their way of seeing things. He's afraid. Maybe I'll be drawn after them. So he asked Yeshua Solanta, what should I do? Should I try to draw these people closer or not? So Solanta wanted to tell him, you can try to draw them closer, but be careful because you're playing with fire. So he said, people ask me all the questions in the world, even questions about shmad. Literally obliteration, it means someone going away from Torah and mitzvahs totally. And he apparently understood that he should work with people, and he did work with people, and in the end he was so amazing and so strong, like there are no words for how great he was. And this is a little bit about one of the things we can learn from this halacha. You have something called a basis. You have a basis. If the prohibited is the main thing, it's on top of the permitted. So the permitted becomes a basis. If you don't mean it to be there, if your intention is it shouldn't be there, it doesn't become a basis, right? We said it only becomes a base if you want it to be there. It's not so simple. Why should it be a base? I didn't mean it to be there. I just have a drawer. I threw everything in the drawer. Why should the drawer become a base? So it's the same thing here. When I'm working with someone who's got his problems, and I have to help him out, I have to be very, very careful that the negative within me doesn't, like, it doesn't become drawn out, it doesn't become strengthened by dealing with his negative. Baal Shem Tov said when you're dealing with someone who's far away, he said, you're like a broom, you get dirty. You get dirty. The Rebbe says, Hecha Kodesh, you have to do his bodilus to remove it. Fiery his bodilus to get rid of all the schmutz. The person just picks up automatically. So the same thing, when I'm dealing with someone else and he's got his problems, I be very, very careful. I should not become a basis for his nonsense. So sometimes in order to be able to relate to someone else, I have to really know where he's coming from. I have to understand him. I have to be able to broadcast love for him. He shouldn't feel like I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm judging him. I'm distant from him, I can't be distant, I have to be very close. But on the other hand, I can't let that be the basis of our relationship so much that I'm drawn after that and I'm dragged down by it. Be very, very careful. That's a little bit of what this sif is about. The spirit of the law. And we have to know. That's what Risto Solanta said. He said, my friend, if you want to want to succeed, you have to be able to do things with your whole heart. He said, they asked him, why are people who are pushing bad things, negative things, why are they so successful? And we're not, you know, people twisting good things, we're not so successful. He said, you have to be lishma. If you do it with your whole heart, it'll work. He said, if not, if you're a half-hearted, he said, they're doing it with their whole heart. As the Beis Halevi said, the Yitzhar is on their team. So it's very easy, you know, to do the whole heart to destroy. But to try to build, it's very hard. That's the bottom line. That's a little bit about our buses. On today's, we'll get the rerun, I guess, if I do the same thing when we get there, that's the show. On today's Spirit of the Law. Okay, let's go. So I'm done with this. Okay. I'm going to start to do muktzah. I think I'm going to try to be a little bit more basic. I think it's a little bit too... I just want to like go to the Mishnah Berurah inside and like focus on what is he saying, so that there should be a foundation. That's what I'm trying to do. But people have been saying it's a little too... It's too quick. Too jumping to questions, and we don't want the basis. We just want the buses. Like, we need to have a basis. We don't want a basis. And that's really true. So I'm going to try to... We'll move on to that, and hopefully we'll... do it right.
And then we'll be able to, after we get the foundation, we can ask questions on it?
Of course, you can ask questions that however you like. No problem. I guarantee an answer. It just might be that I don't get the slightest clue, and I'll try to help you. But I don't know. Okay. Very good. I'm seriously reading. To such an extent, I actually brought my glasses. That means I'm really going to read. It's not, you know, I got to read it all. I can't really see it so well. How are we doing? Better. Okay, so where are we at? Yes. So let's see that one first. So tomorrow, Ben Yishai will be Hanukkah. That's the plan. From Sunday. Thank you very much. Tomorrow is another day, but I'm not teaching tomorrow. But on Sunday, God willing, that's when we're going to be starting Hanukkah, and we should finish Hanukkah by the time Hanukkah comes in, God willing.
Does that Yosef follow this one?
Yeah. Yeah, Parshat Vayeshev. It's not here. First year. That's going to be the Hanukkah one, and it's in that one. It's not this new one. There's another new one. I told you it doesn't have the source. It doesn't matter. But yeah, it follows that, and we should be doing it. We should be before four. We should be done with whatever we're going to do of it each day. It's like, I don't know, a week and a half or something. It's nothing wrong. There's 25 paragraphs.
Which time frame do you from here? Do you do the big chat?
Before four. Usually like 3:30 or something like that.
Okay.
Or so.
Is the first thing you do is scroll?
Sometimes. Okay. So far it's been like a little bit the deeper stuff about Hanukkah and then move on to scroll. I probably do 15 minutes of Hanukkah or something in deeper stuff, like Dari and a little bit of Chassidus, and then we do the Benishchai with a little bit of Chassidus. That's the idea. That's what we've been doing till now. We can do it the first thing, I don't really know. I actually need to make more of an organization. There's a reason. God willing, it'll work. Okay, so where are we? We're all on Ches. I just want to bring this up. There it is. Good to know. Okay. This guy's a half a guy, totally. Alright, well, let's see what he says here. Fine. Okay. This Machnis Adin Bojo, Mother Kupaso, Afar, Miyakiro, Kanzaros, Oslo, Kotzracha, Bishabas, Kigon, Lito, Mimeno, the Chatzos, Toya, Rok, Kuchiot, Vazet, Abalo, and Loyikiko, Kanzaros, Batal, Agab, Afar, Abais, Oslo, Tatlo. Okay, I'm reading too fast, right? Why does someone else read? Can someone else read? Please? Anybody? I'm okay with it. I'm happy that however you want to read. I'm going to tell you because I want to do English, but on the other hand, I'm like, it's too much, too fast. I think I want to do the English slower. I don't want to sit on the lashon Mishnah Berurah so much. I just want to say what it says. We'll go through bit by bit, but I don't want it to be a language lesson. I just want to get like what does it say? Give a foundation. If you want to learn Mishnah Berurah inside, I will learn Mishnah Berurah inside. I'm not particular. I don't care. We can learn it inside too. That's what I want to do. Let's see if it'll... Okay, so it said, a person can take a box full of dirt and bring it to his house, put it in a particular place, Not a box full of dirt. He doesn't have a box, though. He takes the box and dumps the dirt because he needs the box.
Did we get this right?
I think we did, yeah.
No, that's written in Ben
Shchai. Huh? It could be in Ben Shchai. I don't know. I don't remember. Yeah, it could be. I don't, honestly, I don't remember clearly. I remember we did it also. It's confusing.
I remember the box of dirt.
Yeah, well, it's confusing. And yes, it's not. Yes, well, you said already. There's no box. There's only dirt. The box is what's in the box. We'll see.
You had a dirt pour, right?
That's right. Exactly right.
Yeah, so we covered this.
That's right. We did, but in the Ben Yishchai. So okay. We covered it. There's like a little bit of an interesting angle. Like, what do we learn from it? Like today, you know, usually you won't bring a box of dirt in the house, most likely. So let's see. Let's see. There's actually a very strong, something really strong here that we have to learn from this sif, which we can all think about. Is it, does it apply? It doesn't apply. How does it apply? We'll have to see. We'll have to see in another minute. Let's just first cover what it says. Fine. So, you have to put it in a specific corner. If you don't put it in a specific corner, it is nullified to the ground. So, if you have a dirt floor, and you have dirt all over the floor, you can't just pick it up and move it. No, that's not okay. So, the Ramah says, "Lachem butalikach peros hatzmunim b'chol ki ein oso afam muktzah." Therefore, if you have fruit under dirt, you can take them out, because it's not muktzah. And that's assuming you're not doing anything prohibited by with the dirt. Assuming you can, assuming it's sticking out, it's not muksa, whatever, we'll see.
Even though the intention of the dirt was for something else, it was to cover dirty things.
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
The fruit is the main thing. Just like you can move the dirt but indirectly by moving the fruit. That's what it seems to be saying.
And if the dirt was of a different color, a different... moisture than the floor, and so you can still tell which one is dirt that you brought in.
It presumably doesn't matter, because there used to be that they put whatever dirt on the floor they could to make it cleaner, as it were.
Uh-huh.
Now again, like you were just saying, we're telling you, right? Because this dirt's not muksa, there's zero problem. But if it's muksa, he talks about it later. I'm just remembering now.
It's not like a sandbox in the corner.
No, a box would be no problem. That's a discrete box. Not in a box. Just stand on the corner. That's what he says. So we just did the last Mishnah Berurah. If it was in dirt that's muksa, I should see later. That's discussed later. So then we have two more or three Mishnah Berurahs. He said, so you take this dirt, he said, you pour it, Rashi says you pour it on the ground in your house, right? Marabes all the artists. That's what Rashi says. You pour it on the ground in your house. So this dirt is muksa unless it's in a specific place, in a corner, piled up, clearly. Fine. So he says, you can take from the dirt that's in a specific place. That's obvious. He says, you can't, and I mentioned this too, you cannot do a malacha with the dirt because you set it up before Shabbos. So if you have a dirt floor and you put dirt that, by removing some dirt, you've created a cavity in the dirt. It's packed enough so you create a cavity. Well, creating a cavity is a malacha. It's not allowed on Shabbos. You're not allowed to dig on Shabbos. So therefore, you did a prohibition. You can't do it. It has to be that either the dirt's very, very fine, loose. That's right, loose or fine. So that maybe you take it out, it pours in. You didn't do anything. The dirt itself is not muksa. But you can't do a Torah prohibition for the dirt. That's not okay.
Did you create a cavity when you remove a vegetable that you put in for storage in the ground and you kick it? Creating a cavity.
No, again, it's talking about it'll fill in. It's going to fall in. We'll see in Shigidala. That's what it says. It's going to fall right in. Also, when you're taking it out of dirt, even if it falls right in, it has to stick out because you can't move the dirt if it's muksa. That's what it says there in Shigidala. You pull it out, and then it works. Fine. Very good. Which says, okay, here, I brought in my house to cover up all sorts of dirty stuff, right? But then it got my 5-year-old came, you know, he's playing in the sandbox, and suddenly it's all over my house. He says, the fact that I had the original intention, and now again, dirt that's no problem of total prohibition to remove the dirt, right? No problem. I still can't use it. I don't care what your cover is. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Sorry, it became nullified to the ground. It's over, worthless, zero. This line is extremely important. It's like a nuclear line. I'll tell you what it says. He says, and therefore, just like we say that if the ground, the dirt, is nullified to the ground, that the dirt becomes muktzah, even if you had in mind, it doesn't help. obviously, if you have a house where the dirt in your floor is a type of dirt that removing some doesn't create a hole, doesn't do any malacha, and you have a problem, I have excrement, one of my kids, who knows what happened, or someone spat somewhere, it's like really not in a good situation, you need some dirt, and you just don't have any extra dirt left, and you want to take some dirt from your floor, you didn't prepare for Shabbos, you may not do so. This is a very, very important line. Why? Because we saw before that there's something called the Garb Shorei. Garb Shorei means...
disgusting, right?
Yeah, something, that's exactly right. Something that's disgusting. It's literally a urinal. It's a disgusting thing. You gotta remove it for Kavod HaBrius because it's not proper for me. It's disgusting. And we saw like limits. It seems like very hard to find limits. Well, some people ascribe limits to this, these words. Why can't I take the dirt from the floor? And remember, there's no Torah Malach, it's only Mukhtar. And cover the whatever I need, the whatever it may be, the excrement or expectoration, I guess you say, if you want to say a nice word, right? Why can't I cover that with dirt from the floor? It's Garb Shorei. Who cares if it's Mukhtar?
Because the heter is on moving the Garb Shorei, not something else.
That's the question. Let's see. But that's the question. Some people say, you see that there's a limit, and it's not so simple. Like, that was me. I'm like, looking at this, like, wow, we were just speaking about this. I think it's right here. So let's see one second. Says like you. He says like you, the heart speak. Real Chief Pastor Frank, he says most like what you're saying. It's very good. He says, Garb Shorei only enables you to remove the muksa. You can't use the muksa. Here's an example. I need a chair. I'm desperate for a chair. I'm really not doing well. I must have a chair. I have a group from Birthright and we're desperate. So I don't have any chairs. But I have a detached dryer in the backyard. Now he said, according to the opinion, the approach that I can move something for Garb Shorei, it's disgusting for these Birthright kids. Maybe I move all sorts of things off my table, rocks, computers, it all works because it's Garb Shorei. According to the opinion of Moshe Weinstein of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that Garb Shorei, a urinal or something of this effect that disgusts you or is going to embarrass you, you can move for the guests, so then you're okay. Now I want to take my son, pest a young man, I'm going to pick up the dryer and bring it in, and one of the kids will sit on it, who cares? Two of the kids, great, they have enough chairs, I can't do it. Why? I am only allowed to carry it to remove it. I can't make use of it. Now there is a possible way of trying to drain it, but probably you're right. Probably it doesn't even matter. That's also called to use it. I can't use it. Here also, what am I doing? I'm just covering it. I'm not doing something with it. I don't get to use any muksa I want. It doesn't remove muksa altogether. I only can take this thing out of my way. That's it. You don't have a chair, sit on the floor. That's what it is, and it's very fascinating. That's what Rosh Hashanah. That's what the heart feast is. It's different like you say. I thought that was very interesting. Let's just see if there's anything to Lam Tess Malacha book, anything of interest?
So for Garb Shorei, the only thing you can do is get rid.
That's right. You don't get to do anything else. You don't get to use the muksa. You just can't make use of it. That's basically what it comes down to. You can't make use of it. If you have lots of feathers, and they're muksa, and use them in your factory. If no, I won't be able to sleep, my bed, I don't want to tell you, my kid did to my poor bed, it's so wet, it'll dry in like 3 days, right? And I'll just move the feathers in, because I need to sleep, you can just lay down where they are, but you may not move them, you may not use them. You can just move them to get rid of them, because they're in your way and bother you. That's the only thing our sage is permitted, that's it. You don't get to use stuff, and like, just play with your muksa any way you want. That's not how it works. That's how we explain it.
The kid could bind the nieces here, first of all, to take the earth from the ground. You're not planting. No,
the planting is not relevant. It's only muksa here. Otherwise, this whole sift doesn't begin.
Two things. We have to cover a disgusting thing.
Uh-huh. Desperately.
So, for cover brios, mm-hmm. maybe I can take the dirt from the floor. My kavana is not to plant.
You are... No. Okay, wait. Take planting out of your mind. In other words, if it's making a hole, it's prohibited on Shabbos. I don't care if you're going to plant.
Okay.
I do not make a hole. It's a shiloh, or it's bone, or it's corn, okay. Whatever it may be. I think you're bone.
Okay.
You're not allowed to do it. Finished. You either cover a hole, you want a hole. Why would you want a hole? It doesn't matter. I adjusted my hole. Goodbye. Like
still
we saw.
The rice, still the rice though?
Like we saw, even taking the storm windows or the screen or the window off the hinges. It's really easy. I do it maybe every day. It's so hot. I need all the wind I can do. That's wonderful. Shabbos, you did a Torah prohibition. It's like turning on the light. Finished. So soon. And then it's boning when you put it back. So boning, that's the way boning works. as the Chazanis says, and he really takes it really far, but he says, because the Gemara gives so many strange examples of bonet, don't assume anything is not in the parameters of bonet. You need to really check every single thing. He says, after all, you make cheese, like what do? You put some whey in, like big deal. So I made cheese, so what? No, that's bonet. He said, that's bonet. Tell me, bonet is not such an easy thing to understand. He said, it builds something up. It somehow builds, like what does it mean it builds something? Like, what do you mean? What it builds? You know? And he holds the circuit's also bonet, like you saw.
He holds
creating a circuit is also bonet, even though the moment you shut the light, it shuts the circuit. That in and of itself is bonet. That's a Doraisa. That's a Torah prohibition. Others argue. It's a long discussion which Gavon will get to when we get to the proper talk about bonet and silser. It's not here. Is not the right place. But anyway, that's the basic idea. So we have to leave alone. We're talking only in a situation where whatever hole you're making is going to right away be filled in. Or you have a packed dirt floor, and on a packed dirt, you have loose dirt. It's not going to leave anything. It's not going to nothing. Nothing. No planting. The thing here is something which we might not have understood. If you tell me, and again, Rosh Hashanah takes this to such an extent, like we were talking yesterday, right? He says, even a candle, if it's bothering my eyes, he says, not like Shari Tshuva. He like gets around the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva says, sorry, you can't move the candle out. He says, Shari Tshuva is only talking about where you have another room to go to. But if you don't, you can even remove the candle. That's what he says in Shari Tshuva.
What do you mean, remove the candle?
He says, if you have nowhere to go, you have one room, and in your one room where you can sleep, you can't sleep anywhere else for whatever reason, you have a candle burning that's hurting your eyes, you can try not to extinguish it. And this is the one place this is permitted, by the way, according to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Because of Gar Sharei, because of this reason, you can take the candle out of the room. If you ask someone else to go, you may not go. And if you can wait till it burns out, also you can't. So, but if you can't, either way, you don't have to have stinging eyes and not sleep because of the candle. You can muksa, you can carry for Gar Sharei. Which is like, again, an incredible, it's the chiddush, which we, if we really understood the ramification, we would jump out of our seat and say, what are you talking about? Are you crazy?
Let's jump out of our seat.
No, no. But there's still our limits, and that's what we see here. Our saving only permitted you to carry the thing out. You can't use the thing. You don't get to carry the candle into the kitchen because I can't see. Now, there are other problems with the candle. The candle is more complicated because moving it, if you need it, is like borders lines and a lot of derisives. If you don't care about it, you want it out of your face, it's easier. Because you don't care. I don't want the stupid thing. I don't want to extinguish it, but I don't want it. So all the derisives, the possible derisives, make it burn better and worse, I don't really care, is easier. That's how he's relying on. And it's really just a fact. The guy's in serious pressing need. He's got a sickness in his eyes. See, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is talking about someone whose eyes, he's not well in his eyes, and smoke damages him.
Uh-huh.
And he can't be anywhere else. He said, you can remove a candle. But again, I can't. So a candle is a bad example. But let's say I have a heater that works on, I don't know, a heater is also a bad
kerosene.
Example. Kerosene heater. Again, it's the same problem of extinguishing fire or making it higher, like whatever. It's bad. But I need, there's a better example here. My baby needs to sleep. So I have someone left a radio on, classical music. I don't know, not allowed on Shabbos, but it happened that way. Put the baby through, or the baby will sleep. I'm not allowed to do that. I might be able to remove the music, the stupid radio, which is the battery-powered radio. I can remove the thing so I can sleep. In other words, I need to sleep, but I can't sleep. Maybe for me, I can get a Gulf Charade and say, this is disgusting. It moves the whole room, and I have nowhere else to sleep. I can't sleep. I won't sleep the whole night. I'm very sensitive to noise. Perhaps I can remove it. But I don't get to remove it to calm my baby. That I'm not allowed to do. Calm my baby, tough. What do you mean? It's the same as Gulf Charade. My baby's going to keep you up and out all night just as much as the radio would have. I love the radio actor. I don't care. But the baby is a problem. The baby's like, this kid's not going to sleep. You like chaotic music. You can bring your baby in the room with the music, but you may not, under any circumstances, take the music out of the baby. Again, it's not a great example because you're not going to have the music. How do you with the evidence? But anything like that, the same thing. Dirt. Just like the dirt. I cannot take the dirt and use it. Even if I'm just moving it, what am I doing? Tough luck. They only let you take it and remove it because you have no choice.
Grub Sharei, regarding whether or not it's a place considered that you live in there, we said you can bring a chair out there and it's like you live in it, and you have a hazard to remove the Grub Sharei.
Yes, it's
so,
true.
So
but
if it's in a baby's room, you're saying, I want to take the radio out of the baby's room so the baby can sleep, but I don't live there. But the baby.
No, that's not what I said.
Ah,
that's
no,
different. I want the baby to hear the music. The baby
wants
to hear
the
thing. Yeah. I have to think carefully about what. But it's not that complicated. You can only remove it because I need to get it out of my face. I can't remove it to use it for any reason. Use it becomes not allowed. Now we can return it. We saw the Gav Sharei. If you put water in it, you're allowed to return it. If it's still in your hand, you're allowed to return it. Move it back to use it. But its use is not prohibited. Moving it is prohibited. So you're moving it back again. But I can't use it. I'm not allowed to. Another example. I need a doorstop. I'm desperate for a doorstop. I have a very expensive bowling ball. And let's say this bowling ball is electric. I don't know what it is. It's a Shabbos. It's a Muxa thing. Or I don't know. I have a television. I have a computer. A big screen. I always unplug it before Shabbos. I unplug everything. I'm very careful. I want to move my big screen television or my big screen computer and put it in front of the door. Not allowed. You have no idea that door is making us all crazy. I'm telling you, you're going to have like World War III. Makes a big bang and it's impossible. No one can sleep. It's ruined. You can only, if the TV's in your way and it embarrasses you, if you haven't guessed your birthright group, you're like, oh no, the TV's there. I'm going to be so embarrassed. Again, Rosh Shlomo Zalmanov, maybe not everyone would agree with this, but his way, and Moshe Feinstein said, because you are going to be ashamed, it's also called the Gav Sharei, and you're allowed to move it. But you may not move it to hold the door, even though you'll also be ashamed. Tough luck. Our only thing to move it to get it out of the way, to remove it, to empty the chamber pot. Not to move it in order to, because you feel like it. That's the bottom line here, which is very, very interesting. So it's a different ways of looking at it. Some say no. Some say, you see, Gav Sharei, you can't at all use it. Argue with Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. See, Gav Sharei is only. When do I have Gav Sharei? Gav Sharei is only when the rules, what we have. You don't get to make any other rules. Here, after all, what's the difference? You can't move the dirt. It's the same thing. I need to close the gas because it's not bad and it's bothering me. Tough. Don't close it. It's not dangerous. We're talking a situation which we know isn't dangerous or which they thought isn't dangerous. I don't know. Danger is obviously irrelevant. But whatever the reason is, the gas, it's not bothering. Like it's not called moving something to get out of it, moving the switch and turning the gas off. It's different. You only get what you see. That's what the other poskim, I forgot who it is, the other poskim argue. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman, they say that Rosh Tahart Tzvi is different. I don't know. He's not telling me who says it. If he saw what someone says before. That's what Tahart Tzvi says, at least. But it's not so clear. But that's the way Rosh Shlomo Zalman or Moshe Feinstein, that's what they say. And we have to be careful and understand that Gav Sharei still has limits. It's not like it's totally limitless. You can do whatever you want. There are certain framework.
Occasionally the candle is bothering somebody. Uh-huh. Only one room. Mm-hmm. They can take it outside and let the wind might
no,
blow it out.
No, we're talking about it's not going to be extinguished, or it's likely, it's not a sick ratio. It's not certainly going to be extinguished. The Gemara tells of a certain father who needed to give his son something to play with. So, as usual in those times, was if you had I'm not advocating this, don't tell Aunt Pita to me, but what they used to do was they used to like cut off the head of a chicken, and the child would have a little something to roll around. So, that's what it says. So the father says, listen, am I allowed to do this on Shabbos? They're like, no, you're killing an animal. But I don't care about the stupid animal, I only need the head. So he said, "Sick ratio of a loyal, was we going to hack off its head? It's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. So because what you want is an automatic, definite, unavoidable fact of what you're doing, and you need that fact that the thing's going to die to get to use the head, so that's prohibited. So there's a sick ratio where you're going to put it in the extinguisher, you're not going to move it. You're not going to extinguish the candle. That's Doraisa, Lechara. At least, that's the question. So it's just as bad as Doraisa, put it like that. What we're talking about here... It's a different.
The wind will do it, but it still is a problem.
Yeah. If it's obsequious, it's not called a grammar. It's not so simple. Let's leave it. It gets involved with other issues, which we don't want to necessarily talk about again. Luxury to the gufa, how does that work? I don't need the cold. It's a strong Rabbanan. Like the rice. We'll get to. Don't worry. It'll keep reviewing itself over and over and over. It's not this thing.
Moving something that's smelly, like dirty diapers.
You can do it. No problem. But Rabbi Yashua says, because you shouldn't make a Gav Sharei l'chatchila, you shouldn't make one before the fact, only if it works out that you have one, you can remove it. So I'm allowed to take the dirty diaper off my kid because the child can't see the diaper. He says, I can't put the diaper on the bed and finish changing the child. I have to first throw it out, then finish changing the child, because otherwise I put it on the bed, I made a Gav Sharei l'chatchila, I made one before the fact. If you put it on the bed, you can remove it, but you shouldn't. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman argues, he said, that's not true. It's a normal way you change a diaper is you put the diaper down and you finish changing the baby. He said that's just normal. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like it's just like you know. That's like saying don't eat an orange because you're gonna make the peels. But if you made the peels, you could throw them out. He said no. You can eat the orange because that's what's normal, and then throw out the peels. But don't do things for no reason. Don't peel oranges just because you feel like it and make a problem. Don't make messes just because you know why not. If you have like have a garbage can right next to you, or eating your papitas, throw them in the garbage. Don't put them down and then throw them in the garbage. But a diaper is a little different. A diaper, you got to deal with the baby. You can't just. He meant that you have an option, you have a choice, you have a garbage right there, you throw it in. Whatever he was told you in the bathroom, whatever he was talking about, he didn't mean. He just mean if you put it down, then if you have an option, not to, better not to. That's what he means. That's what he said.
But usually people at a tish Shabbos table. You know, there's not next to them a garbage.
Again, he's talking about changing a baby.
Peanuts or something, uh-huh. Cracking the shell, or pistachio nuts. So they're piling up the shells
uh-huh.
on the table. So they don't have the luxury of just having a garbage peel next to
that's
them.
That's true.
So sometimes you can't help it. So maybe you're going to have a repulsive.
There's no choice, yeah.
The shells right there. I don't know. So.
He says that's okay. But Koretz actually says an astounding thing. He says, don't serve these things at your parties if you know that people are going to play with them. They're not going to play with the shells. He says, did they play with the shells? Mook says, it looks like playing with rocks. They don't realize. Like, kind of no services. Like, it's very serious. Tell people, don't give these things out. It's like nuts. He's like, wow. You know, if it's salted, you'd use it. It's maybe different.
Like, yeah, but so. Shell nuts are fine, right?
Huh?
Shell nuts.
Yeah. Shell nuts are great.
What about a garbage shells? Can? A garbage can that you want to, I'll move into this one to find more garbage. It's still
no problem.
Filthy.
Yeah, it's no problem.
But you're going to put it back into its
that's,
place?
Yeah, you can. It's all fine. It's clearly go through. There's no, you have no other choice. There's no better way. There's no other
you're
way.
Not taking it out. You're not moving it. In fact, you're moving it to use it more. Like, I'm going to move it into this center. Room so I can move other garbage.
It's just easier.
Back.
It's just easier. I'm just making life easier. If it's avoidable, if I have a little mess somewhere, I don't really care. So then I shouldn't be cleaning
it.
That's
much better. It's better to not but if you have
if I don't really care, I shouldn't be.
On the same
be.
Question, can you take the garbage out?
You don't have to. Go for it. Exactly like a chamber pot. Excellent. Good point. And you're right. Same thing. You get to take it out. An Erev if you need. But we have an Erev in July. So yeah, you definitely take the garbage out.
Okay.
Because exactly this point, just like a chamber pot, you would take out. If you don't care, you don't need to take it out, so better not to. But if you care, get rid of it.
But if you are screaming at you.
No, exactly. That's the whole thing. If you need, if that's the floor, exactly. So if it's Shabbos afternoon, it's a little messy. No, sorry.
Can we smell it? It has to smell better?
It has to bother. No, it has, that's the thing. Again, most is not only, that's what the Chiddush of Rishon Lezion Aruch and Moshe Feinstein, it's not only smell. Ugh. Not only. If it's problematic, it's embarrassing, or it's bad for some reason, or bothers, you know, if your wife says, I can't get this garbage out of here. Well, it's only papers. Who cares? Shabbos ends in 2 hours. Now, get rid of it. So you get rid of it. You don't have to. You know. And the same thing with the getting into the house. So your wife will walk through the hallway, and she'll be like, "Ugh, this is horrible." So then you can do it even before. You don't have to wait. That's very often the case. That's a normal thing, I think.
Is it possible to eat like pistachio nuts on Shabbos and put them into a plastic plate or a plastic cup?
Mm-hmm.
And just put a double heter in there, like a spoon.
It'll be tedious. You can
spoon, a plastic spoon also. You really need to, it's a double heter. So now I'm going to have a heter to move everything.
It might be better.
I have a spoon in there, which I won't throw it away.
It might be better. You're right.
Hold
you're
the
right.
Spoon back. Throw it in the garbage.
If it's convenient, so, you're right.
I can do that now.
Okay. If you have a plate full of shells, so you take a spoon and put it on, and then you move the plate. Yeah, that's better. But sometimes it can be so tedious and difficult, you feel like, I'm going to spend like an extra 30 minutes. Like, you don't have to do that. You know? It depends. It really depends. Sometimes you're throwing the tablecloth out, you just like, it's the same difference.
Okay. Yeah. That's the best one.
Yeah, so.
Besides shells, what about regular food, like potato peels or
same thing.
Cake?
Same thing. Whatever's not there, whatever, again. If you feed it to an animal you own, it's no problem. If it's edible to an animal, which is normal to have around town, according to many, most important authorities, no problem. If it's edible to the zoo, animals in the zoo, some say problem, some say no problem. But if you say no problem, you're in trouble with Shemitah. You can't throw out any peels.
Right.
In other words, if you go there, Rav Ozer says, don't throw out your banana peel, because there are animals or whatever peels, I don't know what he means exactly, bananas only, whatever it may be, there are certain peels, maybe orange peels, you feed them to animals.
My chart says you can fill up.
What?
The chart I have says you can throw up banana peels.
No, that's because, exactly why, either it's not edible to banana, to animals. Bananas do anything. But I need to buy a new banana for my computer. That's the thing that connects it to. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Actually, the Hebrew and Hebrew, they call it. But really, that's what the Israeli the term for it.
It's
going to connect to speakers. It's called a banana, I think. Doesn't matter. Exhaloiyah. Just saying, we already talked about bananas. Yes, exactly. So, exhaloiyah. So, either because it's not edible to any animal, or because they don't hold like a buzzard, don't like Rabbi Yasha. Rabbi Yasha says, if. And Rosh Hashanah, if the food is only edible to an animal which is like nowhere except one place in the city, for sure, it's not human food, you can get rid of it. That's the bottom line. So that's it. But the minute, that's what I'm saying. If you want to be lenient and you want to say, on Shabbos, I get to move peels with impunity because in the zoo there's an animal, you're going to have a price tag for Shemitah. That's all I'm saying. You can't do both. You can't decide both ways. For Shemitah, it's not food. It's klum. If there was an animal in the city, I'd have to give the animal the peel. I'd say it's okay. I'd give the animal. I wouldn't give. It's food. I could give the animal. And Shemitah, no, it's like there's no animals. Like it's one or the other. Either the zoo counts or it doesn't count.
You can't
decide. You can't pick. Say here, I hold that. It depends. If it's in the week, I hold like the lenient authority. If it doesn't, I hold like the lenient authority that way. It doesn't work that way. You can do it the opposite way if you want, but you don't have to. But you certainly can't go. You can't just go lenient. I'm just anything I want. No, that's not how it works.
Which I tell my wife. She says the peels, the banana peels still have edible.
Get rid of the edible stuff.
Still there. It's not completely just a peel. So I'm gonna put it in the
ring.
She's very like. I'm trying to tell her. Where's the meal? She says no. There's some things which are still edible by humans on there. I'm gonna put it.
Tell her to put it in a bag and another bag and then throw it out. The Chazon Ish says you can do that anyway with Shemitah.
Really? Not to let it rot?
That's what he says. He says it's like it'll rot by the time it's a.
We have no bags in
our
house.
Oh, excellent. I just.
Yeah, we have a separate trash can just for Shemitah.
Yeah, you do, exactly. But you don't have to put banana peels in it, most likely, according to most authorities. Mm-hmm. Again, the little piece you might eat is okay, but that plus not called human food. I don't think you scrape it off. Yeah, I don't think
it's a little strand.
It comes out. Strand. Yeah, I don't think
that.
If it's on the banana, it comes off. I don't know that you have to be so. I don't know that you have to be so machmir. But again, if you put it in two bags, it's no problem whatsoever. Even Shemitah fruit and vegetables, you can. But if you don't want to be mako, fine. But for the peel, no problem. And buy out. Throw it out. Probably even one bag.
And sometimes there's actually some good stuff there.
No, the little bit at the end.
The bottom is still stuck.
That you shouldn't throw out. That presumably you shouldn't throw out. That's human food. That you can take out. Leave that to rot. It's like a little smaller than the peel. But you can definitely double bag. You tell people, like your bag of only peels. And then when it gets full, you put another bag and throw it in the garbage. Chazon Ish says no problem with Chathila with the Shemitah. So certainly he says you can buy true Mechala. He's like, really make up in this area. It's called like nothing. So whether you have to deal with it or not is a different question. He's Bechal, the Chazon Ish, I don't know if I remember now, but the Chazon Ish always somehow finds a way that the rice that you're okay, even if you're a calm man, but the Rabbanan, you have big problems. That's his Mahalach. That's his God. So he finds, it's me to you also. Like, yeah, it's okay this way. Okay, that way. No, the Rabbanan is nothing. The land is just the same thing. In some ways. But that's what I'm trying to say. I think that there's a way. I have to look again. I don't remember. I haven't learned it yet. I'm going. So well. See how's Mishmai.
Oh, so by our case now with the stuff on the floor.
Uh-huh.
What's the best approach now? Just to use a shoe noise somehow? Get it off of it? We can't use the dirt now to cover it. So what's the best way to remove that stuff? Like with a...
Well, you're afraid to borrow some dirt from here. But I don't know.
A shovel?
Could be, because you can remove it. You can remove it. And it sounds strange, right? Why can't I take the dirt better than moving the muktzah? Because again, you're not allowed to use. Very interesting. Not to use the thing. I can carry it. That's it. Can't use it.
I can take a piece of cardboard or something.
Yeah.
Scoop it up and throw it.
By the way, yes, that's right.
Like indirectly.
Absolutely.
With carbon, isn't that a clearly issue with knowledge? Because you're using it in a way that it's not meant to be used?
No.
No?
No. No?
No, piece.
If you, yeah, you can't rip a piece, it's more than a dollar. It's probably like a mamish dollar.
Not rip it, not rip it.
Yeah.
It's a box.
Yeah, you can use it, no problem. No problem whatsoever.
You're allowed to use a cleat in a way that it's not designated for, that you've never thought of using it before?
Yes. If it breaks and it became, it has only a different use, that's what we saw as a question of whether we hold mullet or not. And we hold mullet is not mukhsar, but others do on Shabbos. You have to be yes. That's the bottom line. It's the Atta Bishmar. Okay, so let's do next year. Look at that, look at here.
There would be a problem with tearing the box. If I had a box with no letters on it, I want to rip it out. So I have like a scooper, from this box.
You can, but you can't make it on Shabbos. Make it on Shabbos.
No, to cut me, to rip it was by hand. That was a
rip what?
Take a box, I want to pick up dirty stuff off the floor.
That's what
I'm
about to
You made a clea. A dustpan
is the best thing.
No, you can't. You definitely cannot. The Gemara says if you have this type of wood, you want to clean your teeth. So you break off a splinter and you clean your teeth.
The
broom is different because the broom was already detached. It wasn't detached. But if it was a piece of wood that was never detached and you detach it, you did it or rice off. It's like it's turning on the light. So break it up, my fatish, or whatever you want to do. Yeah, exactly. You create a clean. Yes, precisely. So I ripped the cardboard. I did the same thing, maybe less.
That's a clean.
I might use a toothpick again. This is just going to get rid of. But it doesn't help.
Can you rip up the cardboard and put it in the trash?
If you have to. But you can't rip up the cardboard in a particular manner because you want to use it as a vessel.
No, just rip it up, just to compress it.
If you have to, it could be. You have to be careful you're not making up new letters. Ruining something, generally speaking, is not great, but here it's already ruined. It could be, it's fine.
What's the issue about ruining letters?
Huh?
What's the issue about ruining letters?
Behind what?
Ruining a letter.
Oh, okay. Because again, it's a question of whether it's mochik, whether it's erasing. Usually erasing is on the condition to write. But here, as again, to Rabbanon, rabbinically, you're not allowed to erase anything. So Shlomo Zalman actually says, ripping up, but he's not sure. He doesn't like give us the absolute out. He's like, it could be that when you rip something, if you could just put it back together, it's not called erasing. Erasing, you remove the ability to read the letters, read the words. If you ripped it, you can just put it back. But he says, I don't know. He's not willing to take responsibility. That's correct, so we're not. You know, we don't rip. I try not to rip. You don't have to feel terrible. You did it. Like, you try not to. You don't have to, like, it could be it's a whole matter. Anyways, the bottom is a question.
So then folding up the box would be better?
If you're going to have to rip letters, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So if the box it's already broken up already before Shabbos. It's already broken.
If it's broken up, you can use whatever you don't rip.
I can still rip it.
Do not rip to make anything.
Okay.
You can maybe rip it to throw it out. I'm not even sure. If it's a box without letters, kind of rip it up to throw it out.
It's a collapsed box.
It could be space.
You know?
It could be stuff.
It's a collapsed. Collapsed box. Like it lies flat. The whole all different.
Great. You can use it. Don't rip it at all. Use it. Throw the whole thing out.
I read it in Yudaya's Lamda's book that you can, for kashrut, like if you're on toilet paper, you can rip toilet paper doing makom hapadesh, which would otherwise be the rice thin. And it's not the rice thin? Makom hapadesh?
He's talking about paper that have
serrated.
So therefore, you'd always, generally speaking, rip it on the what's serrated, right? So the only question to rice is the serrated. The moment you're ripping it not on the serrated, it's already a shinui. It's already there upon it. So make another shinui. It's not. You shouldn't use. If possible, you shouldn't use.
Well,
it's the same thing if you ran out and forgot.
You don't have to. It could be you can. It's because it's a because. Because let's not go there. You know, it could be you can. It could be you can, even though it's not. So it's better to do it. That's what we've usually spoken about. It could be that you can if you use your teeth because the shino it's enough. Could it be us? Maybe I don't remember. We'll get there. Shino gimel.
So you can tear if you completely run out of toilet paper. You're able to tear toilet paper on the seam.
Not on the seam and with your teeth. Double.
I think it's his elbow.
You have to use it a strange way. Yeah, people do it with his teeth. How do you do that?
Oh, that perfect solution. You bring in a cat, and they...
The cat's mucked up! I'm just kidding. Actually, yeah. I actually hold the cat's not mucked up. Maybe you hold the cat's mucked up. If you always spoke about Joseph and Ben Ishchai, you hold the cat's mucked up. And we actually, yeah. But mostly, I have to admit, your leniencies have a lot. You have a lot more leniencies than I do. But this particular place, I happen to be. I can pet the cat, and you have a problem. Maybe not.
I don't even need to hold the cat. It'll just jump up and just do this, and you'll have all your toilet paper.
Absolutely. Then you throw it out and say, what I do now? It's worthless. It's too small. And actually, you can. So let's. Yeah. Okay. So let's see where we're holding. I don't know if we have to go so into it. He discusses this idea whether or not, what if I have a floor, what if I have a stone floor, and then I put the dirt in, how does it work, and it gets scattered. Does it become, is it okay, or isn't it okay as a whole, if I brought it in in order to use it, so it is okay. If I brought it in to put over the floor, it's not, because they used to put over the floor, it's a whole, it's its own, I don't think there's that much, you know, that's more or less just like Bekitzer. He talks about. When Kveger says if there's a floor, it's okay. That's the Rashi, maybe not like that. It's not so posh. He says if you brought it in order to use it, then it's okay. If you brought it to scatter, you have to be worried about Rashi, and you can't allow Kveger here. That's what he seems to say. This is the assumption that Kveger brings. That's the Be'alach here. Okay, so Lamed Tes. We did this also in the Neish Chai, so don't feel, don't worry about it. Also, the Taltel, Behem Chai, Ba'ef HaMapichein, Mutu L'chapas of the Sal of Nei Afrochim, Kedei Shiyad, Yudubo, Vudum Olav Asa Taltel. Wow, this is incredible, Chassidus in the Mokot Chaim, and Shemamri, wow, unbelievable. But in short, you're not allowed to carry an animal, a domesticated animal, a wild animal, or a bird. You can't do it. Nevertheless, you can put your basket in front of like chicks, and the chicks will go on it. That's not a problem. While they're on, you can't move it, but they go on and off. Okay. He said, because animals are like wood, blocks of wood and stones. That's what animals are. What can you use an animal for? Nothing. What use is an animal? I'm just kidding. The pet, some people say pets are okay. Like I said, others say no. But actually, some say, what do you do with it? You can't do anything with it. So it's not usable. But if you have a girl,
I don't know if this is right. This is just unbelievable. I don't know. In my notes here, I don't know. Moshe Shapiro says pets are to cuddle with, not much of my husband.
But Moshe Feinstein also says the same thing.
Wow.
And he was Moshe.
Really?
Correct. Now, in terms of, and we spoke about that before, and we're about to speak to it again, and you're right, and thank you, it's a great honor. But let's just do the Mishnah Berurah outside also. He said, even if you have a bird that like flies into your house, he's your chicken, or your whatever, and the thing's going haywire, he's going to break your stuff. It's like, I want to pick the thing out. I'm like, when you get it together, you can go back in. For now, go rip up the hedges. You can't do it. So you can try to like push it out. You cannot carry it away. And we're going to rub it for hefsed, for a loss. And again, hefsed merubu we saw later is a bir halacha later. But for hefsed, you're not allowed to move muksa. Like a bidai that's meant.
Right. It's gonna defecate probably. Chicken might defecate on the thing. If you live in the long, for sure will.
Oh
so,
yeah.
This is the meat that will get spoiled over time.
Gav Sharei. It will make a Gav Sharei. See, if it will become a Gav Sharei, you can move it. But if it will make a Gav Sharei, you may not.
So then
it's becoming?
If you leave it long,
okay, no, if it's a dead chicken, you can move it. But if it's a live chicken, you can't move it. That's what he's saying. Right. Okay, pets, I'm saying that it's what it has a use. Even an aquarium, the motion says it's okay. No problem. It's like something really fun. You can sit with kids, will sit for hours with this thing. It's not, what's muksa about it? Use it, you check it out, you do this, you that.
Also lowers your blood pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell it to my dear relative with a high heart condition. It'll make him worse. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, everyone is different. But like, you know, yeah, if you enjoy them, pets are actually, that sounds, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Instead of worrying, you know, you're doing
it's
something.
Very relaxing.
There we go. Baruch Hashem. Fine. Okay, so that's what we saw first. We saw, and he said, now listen, of course, we're discussing a situation, moving a pet means you're not doing tzeda, which we'll see later. You can't trapping. You can't trap an animal and say, you know, you want to, he said, no trapping involved here. Nevertheless, you can't carry the animal if you're a mess of your health, because hefsid is not good enough. And like I said, hefsid maruba is a question, and Be'alacha seems to say yes if you have to, but that's later.
Okay, I have a shy on that. We have to give our cats eardrops twice a day.
Okay.
For 10 days.
All right.
One of the days is Shabbos.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the cat loves that.
Tell me about it.
Uh-huh.
What do we do?
Rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein. Hold the pet. I don't know. What do I tell you? Okay. I don't know. Rav Yosef, maybe ask your valet or ask somebody who goes to Rav Yosef. I don't know. It's not the way I was taught. The way I was taught is, my grandfather's dog was not mixed on Shabbos. That's how I was taught. I don't know. Well, you want to do it your way? I understand. Again, the Mahalach of Rosh Hashanah, I don't know the answer. I don't know what they would say. I have no idea. Rav Yosef has a lot of Chiddush. We saw the other day, right? He says, the leash. Well, you're not carrying the animal, you're just holding the leash. He has like a whole different way of looking at lots of things in these halachas. But take it for a walk, no problem. Just don't pick the thing up. But he managed, he finds ways around the problems. But this is, sounds like it's a problem. And you have to ask someone who knows more about Yosef. I don't know.
Okay.
But like for me, and presumably for the cat's health or whatever, or maybe for your health or whatever it is, you can rely on the Moshe Feinstein, and I think it's someone's other Rabach, maybe two, who say pets are not a problem.
Okay.
They have the co-op to do this. The Chabad Chaim is saying black and white. It's like stones and mm-hmm. and wood.
Yep. Yep.
And they're coming now and saying, no, it's mutter legamre to handle that. And he's saying, it's also legamre to handle. It's like amazing.
That's not what they would say. If you ask them, did you contradict the Chabad Chaim? They'd say, no, I did not contradict the Chabad Chaim. Chabad Chaim is not talking about pets. In Europe, nobody had a pet. They hardly had money for food for themselves. Oh. What a pet. A pen is not disgusting. So a pen is not looks like a stone. A pen, he would certainly say, is okay. He says the reasons. Din lamachazu. What are they useful for? Nothing. But a pet, everyone knows it's useful. That's what they would say. And the other one, the people, the other one would say, of course a pet's included here. Hello. Use means do a malacha with it. Well, you can't do a malacha with it. You can't do some labor with it. You can't do something with it. You're not going to use your head, your cat as your, I don't know what, your pillow. That's not how it works. So therefore, it's still exactly the rubric of the Mishnah. I don't know what they're talking about. They're just too looking at the Mishnah.
How come we rely on carrying a dead body through a bread, and we can also rely on the heter that we have for Hashara?
We saw there already that the halacha is b'shas etchak. If you're really in trouble, you can take something permitted and move something, but you really shouldn't if you have any other choice. But we saw that if you're really in trouble, you can. Generally speaking, that's the rush. The Shulchan Aruch said, like the rush. If you have to, you can rely on that. That's not great. You have no choice. You have no choice. So yeah, why do we? Because the Gemara talks about a dead body. And the rush says anything, and that's just what happened. That's what they're talking about. David HaMelech, it happened, he died on Shabbos, and had to move him, they asked a question. But the Gemara wouldn't have said about anyone else. And the other Rishonim were like, it says a dead body, because a dead body is real duress. Anything else? No, that's what it told me. There's just two ways of looking at how you come on the rush if you have to. You have to really be in trouble. Try to avoid it. But this is another way to head through that gets around all the mukhs, it's true. If you're really in trouble.
Well, listen, you know, the covet of the they sent covet of the king?
It says in the Gemara there like this, I'll tell you what it says. He asked two questions. Let's see if I remember. The dogs, they need to give the dogs food or something? Something died? So the Gemara says, you see what happens, even a king after he, and then he asked David HaMelech. They answered the question about David HaMelech last, because they said a live dog is better than a dead lion. The verse says that David HaMelech, he was the king, but now there's no honor of the king. And halacha, we deal with the dogs before we deal with the dead kid. The dogs are animals, they have feelings, they're sensitive, and the king not. That's what the Gemara says there. So it wasn't honor at all. It was because of the honor of the mace, dead body, we can't let it be decomposed. So therefore we say any dead body for sure. Now what about something else? What if my Vespa, or I have a Vespa, I have a little motorcycle, and I need to move it. My tzaddiki, my 10-year-olds, you know, somehow they sort of rolled in the house, and then they ran out to play. Or they rolled it out of the garage, it's going to pour rain, it's going to ruin it. I'm really worried. So some people say you could take up something permitted and move it with that, as long as the brakes are on. Just move with that, move it up. Could be. If you want to rely on that, fine. The question is, maybe that's only your body, not something else. That's the question here.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I still remember the strange communications in America. This is like a little bit of a strange joke. The guy who writes his wealthy relative in America, you know, middle class but still pretty wealthy. He said, "Can you buy me a Vespa? I really need one." He said, "Tell me what it is, describe it, and as long as I can fit it in an envelope, I'll be happy to send it to you." Whoops. Oh well. Yeah. And actually, that's joking time. We're done with that. So then, if you can put a vessel in front of these chicks, they can go on the vessel, no problem. Why? He said, the chicks, it's not a problem. You don't say you ruin. You're not allowed to take a vessel and ruin it. Even taking a vessel to have dripped oil from a candle, let's say the oil is muksa and it meets the vessel muksa, you can't do that because the vessel you made muksa now. Now they do that. But here it's not like that because you can always just shoo them off, shoo the chicks off the vessel and you can use it, so it's not a problem. We said we not allowed to carry a basket that the chicks were on while the chicks are on them. And if the chicks were on the whole Benesh Moshes, you're also not allowed to carry them because the moment something becomes muksa, the whole Benesh Moshes, it stays muksa the rest of Shabbos.
And you're really jumping on and off this thing, and I'm not sure if Benesh Moshes are actually on it, but they're jumping on it.
No. Generally speaking, jumping is not a problem because they're also off. Even a little bit off is enough. But if they happen to like nest there, I don't know, you put like bird seed and they're just sitting there enjoying it.
Okay.
In the cell, then looks like the chicks. Now again, for today, you can we hold that a chick, if you use it as a pet, not as for a farm, you are allowed to move it. The feed that remotion. And so again, it's a little bit for them it was like food, it was like life. The chick was not just a play. You gave it to a child to calm the child, but that was only the indirect use. The main use was want to eat. This thing's gonna lay eggs, and then it's gonna make a nice fricassee. That was the idea. Okay, I don't see this from Moshe Feinstein. Sorry about moving the animal. It's Ksosa Shulchan. Micha Shabbos, Rabbi Yom Zilber, also. Rabbi Yom Zilber was not thrilled about it. He's like, listen, since people are so are careful, Rabbi Yom Zilber is also not so happy.
So he does not allow living?
Rabbi Yom Zilber is not so thrilled with the animals. He says, it's only when there's Tzar Bali Chaim. If the animal will be in pain, so there we go. See, your question is answered.
Okay.
So if the animal is going to be in pain, it needs to have medicine, or will get pain, probably is the same idea. You can rely on those who are lenient and who let you put those eardrops in.
Okay.
That's what he says. But it's not through the tongue, emotion is something else. I got confused. So you say it's through Moshe Shapiro as well. It's good to know. But that's, there are definitely post-game where that's what they hold. Again, the minute it becomes so, as the years go by, it's harder and harder to deny. Like if you say there's a health benefit, everyone knows it's like good for your mood and good for your emotions. Like, I don't see the big, like maybe those who were machmir would also admit. And even the Bitzel HaChachma, the Bitzel HaChachma says, you're not allowed.
There's an observation about gozeis. The pat, you gotta pat the cat.
No, I don't care, and it's not observation. No. It doesn't have to go off.
It happens, it's inevitable that they
don't think so.
No?
I don't
think so. You pat a cat.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true. You can't pet a cat without losing hair. I don't think so. Depends how. I don't, you know, how they do it. Gentle. You know, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm just a joke. But like, bottom line is, I think it's possible to pet a cat without losing hair. But even if it's a chachma here who says, I think, no, you have to rely on the, you can't rely on those who are lenient. He says, someone who does, you can't like, don't like, yeah, shout him down. Exactly. Don't shout him down because, you know, some people say you can. There are people who permit.
It depends on the breed.
It depends. Yeah, oh, this, you know about the pets, about the cats, it depends. But, like, you don't have to shout the person name of the audience because, like, listen, there are those who permit. You don't have to.
A garbage peel. Uh-huh. So, since I'm now throwing muksa in here,
That's the normal place for it. That's not a problem. The Gemara talks about a Gav Sharei Chamberpot, that's the most perfect example of taking something and making it pretty much worthless, right? And yet you can use it because it's covered in brias. See, it's also covered in brias. It's the same idea.
I can take the garbage out
because it's gavsharei, and I can move it also, and I have a problem throwing garbage out because it's covered in brias. That's how I.
So the same thing.
That's mashmias. That's the kulyam.
Okay. If I have this oil dripping into a.
It's not so pushy, yeah.
Yeah,
so again, that's its purpose. It's prepared. It's prepared to do that. That's what it's for. That's basically what it comes down to.
How can we make a case for covering the areas?
We find that there is a special yitzi by Shabbos. That's the first thing. It says so. Kavod HaBrias does apply in other situations. You have to know the exact parameters of when it does and when it doesn't. You can't say Kavod HaBrias, so everything's good. You don't have to ever mention anything. You know, everything's the same. It's a problem. You have to know when, you have to know how, but like, you have to work out. It's like a lot of chachma, knowing how to deal with people and how to, like, when to say it, how to say it. The Tom Chal says, the Moshe Rabbeinu and Dvarim. Oh, I forgot. No, it's good. Sorry. Moshe Rabbeinu and Dvarim, he gave to chachma in a way that he was breaking the klippas, not the person. He wasn't speaking to them, he was speaking to the klippas. Remez, Boktis. So he broke the klippas and they were more klippas. That's a tzaddik. When he gives to chachma, he can. To remind, to break the klippas, it's not so simple. How do I do that? How do I wake the person to quit up? How do I? It's very easy to talk about it, very hard to do. The Rebbe's an expert. Amish just gives you, and suddenly you're somewhere else. There's stories. There's a guy who was in a kibbutz. And Rebbe Nachman says, don't let, if you eat your bacon, eat, don't let. You see, the world says, let the fat show on your beard. You should know who you are. Be who you are. Be open about it. I say the opposite. At least don't let the fat go on your beard. You have enough decency to hide it. And that way. So the guy's like, well, you know, he's very simple. We eat this stuff all the time, but I'll clean up after. I'll try to, like, sort of be more circumspect about it. I can do that. That's not a big deal. And he, like, took him a year until he became religious. Like, he just, like, that just did it. Totally, like, took off. So everybody's, like, the biggest expert in the world at, like, getting to people and, like, waking them up. It's, like, on the no end of what you can do. And he has a cough. He's, like, no words. No words. Okay. So I guess we'll do one more. There's not that much about this here. Kol behem chayav of madin osam b'chotzer. Hanu she'ochim savram b'tzalim malicham and tzicham b'alechan b'kach. Rabbi shalai b'yem b'in shi'akru alivem b'arz. The book shemem b'osam tatin chutz b'tragol shem madin osam b'nei shemagas tol b'arz. Thinks it's a metatar b'dochim osa b'chorea b'etan kishkan. Very simple. What happens? We said you can't carry an animal. Those animals like wandering around. It's gonna like get lost. You can sort of like measure along to put it to your house. Don't carry it, don't pick it up, measure, except the chicken. So the chicken or a bird, if you nudge it, you sort of push it along, it's gonna like, you know, you can't like sort of push and hold your hand there because it's gonna like fly. It's like you're carrying it. So that's not okay. That's what it says. Very good. So that's the basic thing. But you can push the chicken also. You can't nudge, you can't like sort of like push it, like kind of lean to it. It's gonna. That's what
don't they say it's, doesn't the Mishmur say it's different chicken? They don't carry themselves, right? They make themselves heavy to escape. So in other words, the other animals make them, they're light. They're like chai, no sayatzmo. I think Mishmur said that, right?
So the first thing we need to know, we'll go in order, we'll get the position. First thing we need to know is, he says, why is it permitted? Any animal is big or small. Big chutz, I love bishutram. It's only talking about where something is possible to have an air bear. If it's impossible to have an air bear, okay. Because we're worried, maybe you'll carry it after all, and then you're in trouble. We don't say that an animal carries itself. There's a principle in halacha, which we'll see in other places more than here, that in a certain way it's considered a human being who's alive is considered to carry himself. So that principle does not hold true for animals, any animals. Fine, very good. Pilahi Litlam Yadaim also. What was I doing? I just went back. Okay. Sure, I have. You can sort of push these big animals, you're not going to carry them anyway. But yeah, by animals, one does not say chai nois, it's not something that an animal carries itself.
Okay, sorry.
A carbison, it's good. Could be you're not allowed to push
that,
them.
What does that mean? And that they don't carry themselves?
That is a great question. Mm-hmm. I think we should talk about it on Sunday if you remember.
Okay.
Because it's not so clear what that means. It's not very clear at all. Very, very complex. What is it? That's a very good question, but I think we should leave it. It's not our sugya anyway, but maybe it's worth looking into. I'd like to think about it a little bit and maybe look into it anyway on my own as well. It's such a principle.
It's like something of the principle of if you don't have an eruv, you have a child, and you want to carry the child can walk on its own, then you can carry the child. Basically, the child can walk on its own. Is it the same concept?
We're going to see that on Sunday. Well, and you're going to see that you cannot carry the child, but it's a discussion. We'll see a discussion. That's why.
Having carries itself, so therefore.
We're going to see. If you want, I can look now. If he probably talks about it. I probably underline it.
Yeah, that was one definition.
So we can. But yes, we'll see. It's not. That principle is not true. It doesn't go till the end. The Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch. Again, we should get to another side. The next one is going to say, well, child, you can do this, you can't do this. What can you do? What can you do? It's going to tell us everything.
Different scores. One is if the child can make a walk on himself. Then you can carry it, or if the child can go out the door and finish, right. You put the child out the door and then you let the child go at the end of the walk also.
She can't even drag him, and she certainly may not carry him. We'll see the next sif, next one, you'll see.
So that'll be Sunday?
Well, but again, the reason why she can like sort of push him along.
That's a kind of right?
We'll see.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Now, but if you carry a child, that's true. If I carry a child, because of this idea that a child can walk and so on, whatever, I don't know if that's the vort. I don't remember the. I'm probably, like I said, I probably already underlined it and I saw it and I just don't remember. But whatever it is, bottom line is, you kid a child, you carry a child outside, no eruv. King's Highway, 600,000 cars going by, it's all you hold the Moshe, it's Mamash Daraisa. You don't have to bring a chat, it's like turning on the light.
Because King's Highway works
there. No, because King's Highway doesn't work, but a child carries himself. Not a very small child, a child who can walk on his own, like you said. In a certain way, he counts carries. That bottom line, I didn't do a Torah prohibition that I bring chattis for. Now, if I'm carrying a baby, or if I'm carrying a child who's tied up, or maybe, I think, sleeping also, and we'll see that, chayv chattis. Only if it's awake, is kilu he's carrying himself. And we'll have to see what in the world does that mean. And like I said, I'm pretty sure I didn't see it. I don't remember what it is. So we'll have to see what is the svara. What's behind that? What does that mean? We'll see. I don't know.
But you don't have to cross between that and carrying the chicken.
Again, the chicken's harder because the chicken's going to flap. The chicken, you're only allowed to sort of push it. You can't grab it and sort of move it along. You can push it in. You can lean into it. You can grab this animal. You're sort of like. And again, not in the public domain, in a carmel is the machlokes. That's what we're saying.
So if there's no eruv, you can't use a stroller.
Yeah, stroller is a problem. No, that's correct. That's